When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Thank you very much, Jeremy. 248-539-9797. That is the telephone number. Don't forget, coming up around 7:18, we get to hear from Dan Campbell in the locker room. The usual post-game excitement.
Always a classic.
Yes. I actually saw some of Kevin O'Connell's post-game. So yep. He gave out like game balls to like everybody. It's kind of weird.
Well, Every coach is going to be a little bit different. I like the fact that post game you give out one on each side of the ball, maybe two if there's a couple of special performances, mm-hmm. but you got to keep it special. You can give out more game balls at the team meeting on Monday morning or Wednesday morning, whenever it is you meet next. But I think publicly you water it down if you give too many.
Okay. I tend to agree with you. I kind of thought that was weird. All right. Real quick. Tonight we have a doubleheader here on 97.1 The Ticket. The nightcap, the Pistons coming off their nice win against the Phoenix Suns on Friday night. Cade Cunningham played great in that game. And there was some interesting stuff. I read an article in Detroit News with Kevin Durant just basically thinks that Cade Cunningham's going to be an all-star this year and how great he's playing. And those guys have had a really good relationship for a long time. Durant always sang the praises of Cade Cunningham throughout his NBA career. So the Pistons will be taking on the LA Lakers. And Lakers have a score to settle, because the Pistons beat them when they were here. So that'll be an interesting game. The opener of the doubleheader is at Little Caesars Arena, where the Red Wings take on the St. Louis Blues. And the Wings were playing some pretty good, not great, but they won 3 out of 4 going into, the game Friday night. Back-to-back weekend with the Montreal Canadiens. And they lose to the Canadiens. They had a 3-2 lead Friday night. They blew it in the third period. And then back in Montreal, they just played awful. Lost, I think it was 5-1.
5-1, yeah.
And look, it's been talked about for a long time. In the NHL, coaches are scapegoated sometimes too early, sometimes it's right, but it always seems to give a team a boost. We saw it in St. Louis with their new coach who was fired by Boston, and Boston's played better since they got rid of Jim Montgomery. Jim Montgomery's now at St. Louis.
Yeah.
They're here tonight. They play better. We see that for some reason all the time in hockey. And it's like when the bettors out there, like myself at times, in the NHL, first game after the coach gets fired is usually a win for some reason. And so that takes us to Nuzi Lalonde, who we really love personally. If they don't win tonight, and not that tonight's, they have the break coming up where they don't play till, later in the week, they
Friday.
NHL Christmas break till Friday. You don't want to do something over the holidays, I get it. But is it time? And I don't think it's all his fault, obviously, but they've too many games where they're really uninspired. They're easy to play against. That's more the roster than the Lalonde himself. But something has to change. Or the Steve Eisenman, who basically said before the season, it's going to be tough for us to make the playoffs going in, says, you know what? We're going to play that. We're going to do the John Jansen. We're going to let the season play out and then, make the change if needed, which will probably be needed at the end of the season.
Well, I would say, let's let the season play out. They're 8 back of a wild card spot. We're not even talking about a division spot. But I also think it's okay to set expectations.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yes, you let it play out, but you set the expectation that we should be a playoff team. And there's different ways, and each sport is going to have things that are unique to the sport. And you mentioned the firing of a coach. I also thought that in hockey when you make a change in the goal. And Kosa comes up, and nobody's going to sit there and say, okay, well, he's the answer to the season. But he did create a spark. And I don't know that they capitalized on that spark because they sent him back down.
Yeah, because he came off the bench, and he goes, it was Husso at the time, I don't know, gave up a lot of goals.
Yeah, I think it was two, and then he comes in, he's down. But there are different ways. If you're trying to preserve your coach, then why send him back down? Put him back out there. Let him have another go at it. Mm-hmm. Let him actually start, know going into the game that he's going to start, and see if you can create a spark that way. If that's not the route you're going to go, the only other way to really create a spark at this point in the season is the coach.
Or a major trade somehow where you trade one of your best players, and they don't have that many great players. It's right. Going to, you know, look, yeah. You're not going to trade Raymond. Yeah, I don't think you're going to trade Larkin. I mean, look, he's going through a scoring drought right now, though, which is bad. But I know people have tweeted me to talk about the lack of leadership. I don't think that's an issue per se from the captain of this team. You know, but
it's part of it. It's got to be part of it, because if they're playing, as you said, uninspired, which is really what you see when you watch them play, mm-hmm. Some of that is how do you inspire the team at practice in the locker room before you come out. When you're on the ice, these guys are professionals. Mm-hmm. There should be some leadership from veteran players, whether it's Larkin, whether it's Kane, whether it's DeBrigitte. Like, they've got guys that have been in the fire, that have been down, have been able to come back, or right. Have been up. Like, where is that?
Yeah. Look, they don't play with fire, and it's more of a roster thing than anything else, I believe. I just don't think they have enough good players. They have some decent offensive players, obviously. They show you how bad this team is, especially defensively. You know, Evanson didn't play the last two games. You're talking about a 21-year-old who's your second-best defenseman on the team, part of your first pair with Seider, and you lose him, and that's really worrisome, really, in a town where we see what a football team can do with all the injuries they have. That shows you how bereft of talent they are, where if Simon Evanson's injury can really affect this team in a negative way, which absolutely showed, especially on Saturday night. So, look, I don't think it's going to make that much of a difference one way or the other. If they fire him or not, maybe that's what Eiserman's thinking. Maybe he's also thinking, you know what, there's a coach out there. Might be a coach out there who might be more available at the end of the season. I have no idea what's going through his head. But they are not a good hockey team at all right now. 248-539-9797.
So you think this is a must-win for Lalonde?
You would think in the normal circumstances, yes. But, you know, they don't like to fire. I think the last coach they fired during the season was like Nick Pallano in like 85 or something like that, if I'm not mistaken. Or Harry Neal, one of those guys. Mm-hmm. I don't know. But, yeah, it's not really good. All right. So they're disappointing. I was really excited to watch the college football playoff this weekend. I wanted to see what it was like.
Yeah.
Obviously, you had the Notre Dame game on Friday night and the three on Saturday. And I will say this, as somebody who really, you know, doesn't like Notre Dame, it was really – the setup was really cool. I mean, it looked great on television.
Yeah.
You know, it was cold. It's the way December football should be.
Playoff games should be played at home.
Right. Weather was not a factor for the opposing team because they were from Bloomington, Indiana. And Notre Dame just kicked the snot out of them, and which led to everybody believing, oh, Indiana didn't deserve to be there because they didn't beat anybody. You know, their best win was probably Michigan, right?
Best brand win, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it might be their best win.
Yeah. Nebraska, but they killed. I mean, because they were blowing
Nebraska
out
was undefeated
teams
at the time.
Right, they were blowing out teams. So that's where they got a lot of their gravitas.
So I watched about, I can't remember, The longest I watched one of these games was about a quarter. And it was a little bit hit and miss on Friday night with the Indiana-Notre Dame game. And I watched the beginning of it because all of a sudden, hey, Indiana gets an interception.
Right.
And you're thinking, oh, this could be special. It could be unique. And then they drive down and they give the ball right back. And then it was pretty much, you know, what's his name? Roach.
Who?
The quarterback for Indiana.
Rourke.
Yes, close.
I am running off on you already.
He just didn't play the same that he had played all season long. No. And there were some plays there to be made, even on the interception that he threw. I don't know if you were watching and the breakdown, like he had an outlet that he had taken earlier in the year that was wide open, yet he went for the crossing route and it was just a little bit behind the receiver, ends up being picked off. There were other times where he had receivers open. It was just outside the stretched arm of the receiver. So I don't necessarily think that they didn't belong. Mm-hmm. It just was a boring game. And then you got to Saturday and SMU Penn State. That was boring from the get-go. Every single game was boring, and they were up against the NFL. I switched to the NFL almost immediately.
I know, and you're more of a college guy. But yeah, the Notre Dame game was, you know, interesting for bettors who had a nice little parlay. I'd love anytime touchdown and 80 yards total rushing. Well, he did it on one play.
Yeah. 98 yards.
So that was good. So I ended up winning anyway, and then the Penn State game, I wanted to see how a team from Texas would play in that weather. And their quarterback was just, it was disappointing because of how horrendous he was.
You talking Texas Clemson?
No, SMU.
Oh, a team from Texas.
Yeah,
yes,
a team from Texas. They were awful.
Yeah,
I mean, he was terrible. They never got a chance to get going. You didn't even have a chance for James Franklin to do something stupid.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, he did go for the fourth down and got it. But I think that's more a product, and Clemson as well, of just a bad ACC. I just don't know that the ACC was very good. It's just like the Big 12. They're just not very good this year. And with the auto scene, we didn't get a chance to see the Big 12 team play yet.
Correct. That's Arizona State.
Right.
And their game coming up. Yeah. I mean, it's going to be crazy. And you look, then there was the Ohio State-Tennessee game.
Yeah. And that one was more of it was Big 10 against the SEC.
Yes.
And it was a 10-2 SEC team that just got absolutely railroaded.
Yeah, and I kind of thought because Tennessee scored at the end of the first half that they got the ball back. If they did something and like scored in their first possession of the second half to cut it to like one possession, that the sphincters would get a little tight in Columbus and it would be interesting, but they couldn't do anything.
Let me ask you this, because then we got to get to break. But if that game had been at Tennessee, do you think the outcome would have been different? How much did the weather play a part? Because they said at the beginning of the game, hey, this is the coldest game that Tennessee has ever played in.
I don't think it would have made that much of a difference. Because it's not that Tennessee's like, well, I'll explain why.
Okay.
I don't think it would have made a difference. And it's a reason that I don't want to hear about, and I'm going to give it to 97 won the ticket.
Hey, we've got playoff games in college football. We've got division battles at the pro level. So why not watch all these great moments around the holidays and around the new year at a viewing experience that's absolutely built for us, the sports fan. You could chill in one of six pools on three different levels. And yes, I am describing Stadium Swim, where no matter where you are, you've got a perfect view of the massive 40-foot tall high-definition screen. It's America's favorite place to watch every single sporting event. But at this time of the year, when it's cold up north, you can be down there watching your football games in sunny, sunny Vegas. Swim Up Bars, insta-ready selfie walls, and one nonstop party. Score your perfect game day spot with cozy day beds, private cabanas, or grab a lounge at the center of the action. You can reserve your spot today. It's 365 days of sports poolside, and it's located at Circa Resort and Casino in downtown Las Vegas, and it's right there on Fremont Street. Stadium Swim, all sports, all seasons. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Great call right here on 97.1 The Ticket, Lions Football Network. Brown and TJ Lang, who will be here at 9 o'clock. All right, we have some ticket text, Lions, and also on the Red Wings thought that we brought up that tonight's a big game for Nusi Lalonde, I think. I can officially say it. Stevie Y needs to be fired, him and Lalonde. From an unnamed texter. Another one says, Yzerman signed all those bums. Herb Brooks couldn't win with these bums. That's true, because Herb's dead. Good point.
Yeah, There's a lot of guys that fit that category now.
Yeah, this is the kind of analyst we only get from Stone.
That's right. He could have said Scotty Bowman. At least Scotty's still alive, you know. I get it. I'm just
speaking. Yes.
Here's some text on the Lions. How about the whole Lions sideline yelling ball as well as he is falling? Ben is toying with other teams.
Yeah. And wasn't it Goff or maybe one of the linemen that was interviewed after the game said that the linebackers were all shouting fumble?
Well, yeah, and J-Mo said he heard the crowd make some kind of noise, so he knew. Yeah,
I know Amon-Ra St. Brown said that as well. Yeah. Like, he heard the crowd, mm-hmm. you know, and so he knew that that everybody in the stadium was falling for it.
Mm-hmm. I love that in Week 16, amidst all the seriousness of the pursuit of the NFC Championship, the Lions still find a way to enjoy playing part of football.
Yeah.
The fall-down fumble fake was just the kind of thing great coaches let their players do to retain the love for a boys game.
It's part of it.
I may have missed it, but have you already discussed J-Mo's lack of self-discipline? If he can't control his emotions, he may cause us a penalty that ruins our season. Just stop with the antics already. All right. I understand. We haven't discussed it yet. And now, look, that's a detriment. However, from what I've been able to gather, and TJ will be able to elaborate on it more, he didn't really do anything. He, like, spun the ball, basically, out of bounds, and it was. And at first, I thought, well, he must have said something because there was no.
He said the magic word.
Maybe he did. I don't know. But it was for taunting, and it was like, really. And you know, Campbell gave him a little tongue lashing, so that was good. When Arnold's backup has been in there, he's been getting beat by two or three steps on these deep balls. Arnold is always in position. He just tends to be a little bit handsy. I'd much rather see that than a guy that is getting flat-out beat. Absolutely.
There's no question. They're backups for a reason. Mm-hmm. And now the Lions have had backups play.
Yeah.
And some of them have stepped up and played good enough to win. But, yeah, I mean, especially at that position, if with as aggressive and as much man coverage as Aaron Glenn calls, there's going to be moments even the best get beat.
Right. Oh, I did say when we were talking about college football playoff, my probably an overreaction.
Oh, yeah. What is it?
I hate to say this. Ohio State's going to win it all. And it's an overreaction because and I think the Michigan thing actually helped them. And it just proves that they're so freaking stupid and we're so hell-bent on playing the we're Mr. Tough Guy that if they just did what they do best, they would have beaten Michigan by double digits. But they didn't. They just kept handing the ball off, let's run right through Mason Graham. No, you can't do that. And they finally feel, you know what? We have this guy. He's a pretty good player named Jeremiah Smith. Let's get him the damn ball.
Yeah, he's good. Now, he's good at football.
I'm going to be a very big Duck fan. It's a big weekend for me. Ducks and Packers. You know? So, I hope I'm wrong, but I just got that little feeling.
Oh, yeah?
That they have the talent to win it all.
You got that loving feeling.
It ain't loving.
Yeah?
It ain't loving.
I don't think they beat Oregon.
I hope you're right.
And I've said this. I think Dan Lanning is a really good coach. Sometimes he annoys me. But there is, I don't think, a team in college football that has improved on a weekly basis and is as disciplined as Oregon in the country.
They gave up a lot of yardage against Penn State in the Big Ten championship game, though. And Ohio State is a better offense than Penn State, in my opinion.
Yeah, but they also have beaten Ohio State already.
I know.
And this one's not at home, but it is on the West Coast.
Yes, it is.
The granddaddy of them all.
That's right.
And a couple of notes, by the way, is that Oregon left a lot of points on the board in that game.
Yes.
And second of all, Stoney mentioned the style of play that Ohio State played against Tennessee. Do you know what they also did against Tennessee? They ended up winning the rushing battle.
That's true.
Because
they got a lead.
You get a lead.
Yeah.
The other team has to throw.
Amazing how that works.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing. Maybe he learned something. That would be Ryan Day.
Yes, maybe. And we had to teach it to him. Michigan had to teach it to him.
Yeah, we've taught it to him 4 years in a row.
I know. Chuck, you're a 97 on the ticket.
Hey, good morning. How you doing?
Good.
Actually, I got a question. I know it's a Victory Monday, but in regards to J-Mo, he's very immature. And granted, he got first down, but then he gets a unsportsmanlike conduct, cost us 15 yards, which we overcame. And I understand, you know, he gets an 80-yard touchdown. But shouldn't they start hitting him in his pocketbook to try to make him mature and stop doing these stupid penalties?
John,
the same thing, the same guy.
Chuck, I don't know. John, you know, because you were a member of the union. I don't think you can fine players for that, can you, unless the league does it?
No, you can't. That one has to be policed by the players.
Yeah.
And obviously, Dan, but there's different ways that you can get your point across. Mm-hmm. I don't know that that Dan Campbell's point is being received. I'm not sure, because I guarantee you, Penei Sewell, while there is some of the antics that you can put up with, and again, maybe we'll hear from TJ, what was the reason for the personal foul? If it was just simply spitting the ball, I think it was a light flag.
Right.
And shouldn't happen. But it did. And it's not the first time, and it's not the first time against the Bears.
I know.
Where this has happened. That happened before played a part of this. Oh. Like, hey, we're going to get under control now.
It was Tyreek Stevenson again. The two of them, you know.
Jawing back and forth.
Yes. Speaking of jawing, the head coach of the Detroit Lions jawed in the locker room in a positive way. Thanks to the Detroit Lions. Let's hear Dan Campbell after the game. It's J-Mo.
Yeah, we heard. We heard the very definitive J-Mo laugh in there
as well.
Yes,
exactly.
unbelievable.
On the Dan Campbell scale of 1 to 10, that was probably about a 7.
I was going to say 7.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I like his point of it's a franchise record. But it better not end at 13.
Damn right.
Because, hey, next week we can look back in years and talk about number 14.
Right.
And a week after that, we can look back in years and talk about 15. In 5 years, we can look back and talk about the Super Bowl. And I think that the one seed is so important, not just for home field. It's the bye week. It's to be able to rest guys up. And maybe you get Anzalone back. Maybe you get him back by Minnesota.
Well, they said the clock for him, and I forgot who else will be starting now or this
okay.
week.
Yeah. On a Victory Monday.
Yes.
Let's see.
Absolutely. Our telephone number is 248-539-9797. Is the defense good enough to win the whole enchilada? 97 won the ticket. TJ Lang will be here at 9 o'clock. Lots of stuff to talk about concerning your Detroit Lions, 13-2. They got some help from John's former team, the Washington Commanders.
Still hard to say.
I know. I get it. Defeating the Philadelphia Eagles. And also, we didn't get any help from the Minnesota Vikings, or from the Seattle Seahawks.
Yeah.
Who
Had their chances.
They came back, took the lead, and then when the Vikings were trying to come back, they sacked Sam Darnold, but got a hands-in-the-face penalty, unnecessary roughness, and that set them up. And next play, I think, or next two plays later, Justin Jefferson from Darnold. Darnold, I mean, obviously Josh Allen's probably going to win the MVP, and Jared Goff, Saquon. Sam Darnold, man, I haven't looked completely at the stats, but that guy, man.
Well, coming from what he's been for his entire career.
Right.
His time in Carolina, his time with the Jets. I mean, you didn't really see anything from him in San Francisco. Like, he's just been
he's been on crappy teams, too.
Well, he's been on crappy teams, but I also think you'd start to develop a reputation of he's just a backup, right?
Right.
And I think they brought him in regards to he was going to be the veteran presence for J.J. McCarthy.
Right.
J.J. goes down. And now all of a sudden, it's Sam Darnold's, show. And this is where I think Neil O'Donnell Or not Neil Don.
Kevin O'Connell.
Kevin O'Connell.
He might be coach of the year because of the reclamation project of Sam Darnold.
I think he is a tremendous coach, a tremendous offensive mind, and what he's been able to do with Sam Darnold has been impressive. I think that's the big concern about the Lions' defense is against San Francisco this week. I don't know that they're going to have enough weapons to. Ayuk is out. McCaffrey's out. Trent Mason, Williams has been out.
Mason, the backup, is out for McCaffrey.
Even though you're looking at it going, okay, it's still a good offensive mind and they've still got some players. But Deebo Samuel has been largely ineffective. He's got one touchdown.
I believe he got a receiving touchdown yesterday.
Oh, he did. So now he has two. He doubled his effort.
Right.
But good for him.
Yesterday was his first receiving touchdown. His other one was running.
Rushing, yeah.
So basically he tied Dan Skipper for receiving touchdowns.
Skip. And so I think the big concern is, can you pressure Darnold enough? And is the secondary going to be good enough? Did you see anything yesterday that makes you believe that this defense against Addison, Jefferson, Hockenson, and the way that that offense is operating for Minnesota, that this defense will be able to do something similar to what they did yesterday? And this is looking at Keenan Allen, had 9 catches for 141 yards.
Yeah, and he ain't Justin Jefferson.
Right.
I mean, it's going to be.
And Caleb Williams, we're talking about Jared Goff. And I think Jared Goff is as smart, as efficient, as perfect for this franchise and this team as you're going to find. But Caleb Williams yesterday threw for 2 yards less, one touchdown less, no interceptions. So it's, 9 weeks in a row? And I think some of that is he's just not taking some of the required risks that you need to take as a quarterback. But you still didn't put a lot of pressure on him. And I think that offense – with Kevin O'Connell and the receivers, like Justin Jefferson is still, in my opinion, I think the best receiver in the NFL.
I totally agree with you. Now, look, their running game is not as good.
And they've been beat up front.
Right. It's not as good, but it's still decent with Aaron Jones, obviously. So,
sure.
It's going to be a huge game. And don't be surprised, by the way, if that game gets flexed to Sunday night.
Sunday night would be awesome. I mean, So you plan Monday night in San Francisco, and I'm 4 hours think will make that big of a difference.
Right.
But it will be interesting because this could be another short week. And the Lions with the injuries and the increased workload that Jahmyr Gibbs is going to have. Now, who knows how the game goes in San Francisco? We all hope it's a blowout. And, hey, halfway through the third quarter, you start working in, Craig Reynolds, Jamar Jefferson. But, that's going to be important, I think, for this team is, can you get up? Can you make it a decisive win in San Francisco? Is that even possible? And if it is, can you get some guys out early?
All right, we have some ticket texts I want to get to. Two on the college football playoff discussion that we had briefly. Guys, I watched zero of the college football playoff this weekend. The sport has an issue when I'm more excited for week zero than I am the playoff. Maybe it was because of some of the matches. I was interested to see how it would look on campus and things like that. And it was
It looked cool on campus until they played the game.
I know. I mean, I didn't. They were
boring.
You kind of thought the Ohio State Tennessee game was going to be more competitive.
Well, sure. That's why they put that one Saturday night at 8 o'clock.
And I thought SMU, even though I know they're not a great ACC team, I get all that. But I thought with their speed and that they would be able to at least make the game interesting for a decent amount. But the quarterback just threw 2 pick sixes in the first half, and that was the game.
I thought SMU competed with them on a play-in, play-out basis. They just tripped over their own ass 5 times in the first half.
And that's hard.
Yeah. This is what you media people wanted, so stop complaining. The BS apparently wasn't good enough, and now bowl games mean nothing. So thank you. That's from Don. Look, don't put me in that category, because if it was up to me, I'd do it the old-fashioned way.
Vote?
Yes. I didn't need a playoff. That was the one thing that made college football so unique, and you'd have arguments and things like that. And I know the argument that you went through was a joke, but you get my point.
Well, I do get your point. I mean, so I think we're talking about an older generation argument here,
right,
because that's how we grew up.
Right.
That's what we fell. That's how we fell in love with football.
Right.
And now college football is, it's the 14 playoff. It was the BCS, that's the 14 playoff. Now it's 12. I think 12 teams is too much. We struggled other than last year where they left out an undefeated Florida State team.
Right.
And there were four really good teams that made the college football playoffs. We've struggled to get four teams that we thought could have a shot to win a national title. Generally, it was either Alabama, it was Clemson, there was a couple, Georgia. But now we're expecting, instead of, you know, we're expecting that NIL and the transfer portal has equalized enough, spread enough talent around that we're going to have 12 really good teams. It's just not possible.
No.
I've really adopted Jim's philosophy of the 12-team playoff, that if
everyone gets a gold star?
No. That if you wanted an 18 playoff, we have an 18 playoff now. You want a 14 playoff? Just wait another week and a half, and we'll have a 14 playoff. I think it's a little emotionally healthy. Instead of arguing about, God, there was four football games on this weekend, and they were boring.
Well,
I didn't want to watch them.
So if they want to make it a little bit more intriguing, I think there's some tweaks they can make to the 12 team. Like,
well, the seeding.
The seeding, all right? You know, don't – the conference ship. But – and I asked Ward last week, you know, is there a change that you would make having seen it from the inside? And he gave me the standard, well, that's, you know, it's up to, you know, the director, whatever. But I really believe, and he talked about the value of winning your conference championship. Mm-hmm. Like, you don't want to devalue that. I get that, but if you could still have an automatic, like, 1 through 12, it doesn't have to be an automatic 1 through 4.
Right.
That's part of it. I think the other part is, don't go up against the NFL. Because if you have a bad game on a Thursday night or a Friday night, like, I watched more of the Indiana-Notre Dame game simply because it was the only thing on. As soon as SMU and Penn State got bad, I flipped over to the NFL.
Yeah.
When Clemson, Texas was bad, I flipped over to the NFL. And then I thought, oh, okay, well, here, Ohio State and Tennessee. The reason they put that one alone is because they wanted more people to watch it for longer. I was like, I just really kind of want to go to bed. Just was boring.
I think the Notre Dame-Georgia game is going to be just a defensive battle.
Could be.
Yeah. All right. 248-539-9797. We'll get to more of your ticket texts as well. Like I said, TJ Lang will be here at 9 o'clock. It's the Costa and Jansen. I don't know what the hell your show. It's the morning show. 97.1 The Ticket.
Don't let the cold creep in. If you need your furnace service today, and man, it was cold over the weekend, do what I did. Call Mastercraft Heating, Cooling, Plumbing, and Electrical. They've got all the best equipment, the best prices, and they offer same-day service. Plus, it's that 5-year warranty, so you know you are absolutely covered. Save a bundle with their winter bundle. That's up to $1,500 in savings when you buy a new furnace, AC, and generator. You can call them for more details or simply visit them on the web at mastercraftheating.com.
Two turnovers created by the Lions defense. Actually, Ndunze helped himself, but I don't care. They count as turnovers. Some ticket texts. I've been as critical as anyone of J-Mo with his BS since he's gotten here, but I'll give him this. I loved his reaction to his long touchdown. In the past, he'd go nuts doing like 3 solo celebrations, and Amon-Ra had talked about how he needs to involve his teammates. Yesterday, he acted like an adult and turned around and pointed to his teammates and waited for them to begin celebrating. That did show that he's starting to get it, in my opinion. You know what else? He showed me some maturity last week when he scored the touchdown late and he kind of knew that it really wasn't going to mean anything and he really didn't celebrate, which is like, you know, scoring a goal when you're down 4-1 late in the third period. If the Vikings beat the Packers next week, then the 49ers game on Monday doesn't mean anything for seeding, win or lose. Should we rest the starters for that game if the Vikings beat the Packers? I'd say, you know, maybe we'll ask Dan Campbell that tomorrow.
If the Packers beat the Vikings?
Yeah, because that'll be before. Yeah. No, right. If the Vikings beat the Packers. Because if the Vikings beat the Packers.
Right, so that game doesn't matter because you still have
to beat the Vikings.
No, I agree with you. That's dumb.
I agree with you.
I understand.
But we need
the
Dan
mental
Campbell.
Gymnastics.
Let's stop resting starters. Let's just say that.
Yeah. We're not. No.
No way we can rest starters. February 10th.
Right.
Good point.
Mm-hmm.
I've never played a down of organized football, but Campbell's speeches make me want to put on a helmet and run through a wall. That's from John in Lake Orion.
Mm-hmm.
I love MCDC, but how do you not also give a game ball to Gibbs? Montgomery is out of the game, and Gibbs is the first in the first half was out of this world. I bet he gives him a game ball today or tomorrow.
Could be.
I'm sure he will.
Yep.
Can you all not take calls about people bitching about J-Mo? It's ignorant. J-Mo will be fine. That's Joe from Lincoln Park. And somebody says, old guy calling any L about J-Mo. Merry Christmas.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Get that.
Yeah. Let's go to Chuck. You're on 97.1 The Ticket. What's up, Chuck? Chuck.
And except what happened to Indiana, which I knew they were a fraud anyway, so that didn't bother me as much as 12 teams. You're going to have good and bad games, and you really can't control that. But I think it's going to get better from here. And I also want to say, first-time caller, I'm in the from the military, came back a year and a half ago, lived in Virginia and almost got in fights a year. The Lions were 0-16 because I defended them. So
thank
I've been
you.
A Lion fan since thick and thin.
Chuck, first of all, thank you for your service.
Yep.
Were you in Washington when Mr. John Jansen was playing for the Redskins?
Well, yeah, it would have been the 0-16 season. I was still in Washington.
Yeah, but I was I lived down in the Virginia Beach, Newport News.
Oh,
I was
okay.
In the Air Force. I wasn't up in D.C.
Okay.
But big military presence down there. But everybody was a Redskin or Raven fan, and I had guys putting papers all over my car from the newspaper when we were 0-16. I almost got in a fight with a coworker. So I went to a Lion game at Tiger Stadium in 1965. That's how long I've been a fan. Thick and thin, I've defended. I love them. And I just – yeah, and I was going to ask you about – resting starters if Minnesota wins next week, and appreciate what you guys do. Thank you much. Have a happy holiday.
Yeah, there seems to be a thank you as well. There seems to be a concern about injuries, and look, I do it during games. You know, when teams are, you know, in football, basketball in particular. When you're
why
up,
is the starter still in?
Yeah, yeah. That's my pet peeve. It's been for decades, but to suggest sitting out. I don't know. It's
no,
too early.
A week 17 game when you still have week 18, that matters? Like, okay, let's just flip it. If Green Bay wins mm-hmm. and beats Minnesota, you play and you win against San Francisco.
Oh, no. He's saying,
no, I'm just saying.
Yeah.
I don't care what happens. You go out there and you win until you have the division, you have the number one seat, you have it all locked up.
Right.
Until that happens, it's not even a discussion.
I agree with you.
I'm not going to leave it to, it's not chance. I'm not going to leave it to the last week of the season and say, well, we could take care of it next week. Why do today what you could do next week? Like, no. That to me is dumb.
No, I understand that. But what the texter is referring to is if, you know, the Vikings win that football game, what happens in the Lions-San Francisco game the next day, because the Lions played Monday night,
right?
Win or lose means absolutely nothing in the seeding for number one seed and for the division.
Yeah.
That's the point.
Except you like to win.
I understand. I know, but I'm
just... You go out there, you play the game to win.
I'm not arguing with you. I'm giving their rationale.
And I'm easy. Easy. That's not... I don't care.
I know.
I really don't care. That to me, that is, I will argue with anyone.
Well, of course,
a dumb argument to have.
I would never expect you to feel any different. The people that play
kind of makes me mad that it even was a topic.
The people that play the game, I never would expect them to go along with that mentality, even during the games, like. How many games were the Patriots leading by a lot of points? Did Brady ever come out of games? Very rarely.
Very rarely. But here's the other thing about all the other position guys. Quarterbacks are making a lot of money. And a lot of guys are making a lot of money for the Lions right now.
Yeah.
There are bonuses involved. Playing time bonuses and performance bonuses, all of those things. And so when week 10, I don't even know who it was in week 10, if you're up by a lot, mm-hmm. Tennessee, do you want to come out? knowing that at the end of the year, you might have that number one seed locked up in week 18. And then, yeah, your coach is gonna pull you out no matter what. You want to make sure you get all of those bonuses because they're big bonuses. They matter.
I understand that.
That's all a part of it as well. This is a business. It's a business of winning. It's also a business of making money.
I'm not concerned about that at all, even from a fan perspective, because I'm not playing. If the Pistons are playing the Lakers and they're down 25 points with 3 minutes left in the game, I don't want to see Cade Cunningham in the game. I mean, it makes no sense to me. I get more upset about in-game decisions like that than whether they're going to rest guys. To me, the Lions are playing their guys no matter what. That's
yep.
First of all, the other thing, and it may be short-sighted, it may be hypocritical to some of my other thoughts, this team is different. You know, they're built this way to play yep. and go through these things.
Yes, and they've proven that they can overcome a lot. And you don't want to have to overcome more injuries. And I get that. But no, the object is to win every game.
Right. 248-539-9797. TJ Lang will join us at 9 o'clock. Coming up next, it's the montage.